Now, reports indicating that 19 African countries remain part of the Commonwealth of Nations. Got a total of 56 member states across the world. Nearly all of them were once colonized by the British Empire in some shape or form. Economist Online, Mr. Ulrich Huber, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Ulrich, why is it that 19 African countries are still part of the Commonwealth? I mean, is this not still the legacy of colonialism and imperialism? Should we not have shed ourselves from this already? Or is there still benefit in this ailing system?
Yeah, but we must remember that the Commonwealth and the new Commonwealth only came into power after, or into existence after the Second World War, I think by 1949. And it's actually a very loose sort of get-together by quite a number of countries, as you've mentioned, 56. And and most of them were linked to the old British colonial system, but not all of them. We found, for example, lately that Rwanda and Mozambique became members of the Commonwealth. And, you know, eventually you look at this, and you say, but why are our countries members of this sort of loose grouping? And one says, yeah, in general, people say it's providing support when it comes to economic issues, as well as ideas around democracy and commitment to democratic institutions. And yeah, if you look at the number of people living in Commonwealth countries, it's about 2.5 billion people out of a total of 8 billion people in the world. So it's about a third of the world population that are members of countries, or citizens of countries, which are members of the Commonwealth. And eventually one says, you know, but are there really any benefits to this? And you know, if you think of the South African situation, we joined the Commonwealth again in 1994 after the change in the political dispensation. But we're also members of the Group of 20, and we're also members of the BRICS grouping of people, of countries. And, you know, are there really any benefits? Yeah, one can say there is trade between these Commonwealth countries. And if I'm a member of the Commonwealth and you are a member of the Commonwealth, we could say, but, you know, given this sort of mutual sort of ground of cooperation, we could say, but, you know, we will look at trade agreements between the two countries, which could be to the benefit of both countries. And we know that, you know, there's some really big countries part of the Commonwealth, members of the Commonwealth. And if we talk about the size of the countries, we talk about Canada. If we talk about population, we say India, with about 1.4 billion people nowadays. And actually, you know, the Indian economy is now the biggest economy within the Commonwealth grouping. So, yes, are there really benefits? I'm not quite sure about that. But one could say that, you know, trade could be easier. And I remember that when we left the Commonwealth in 1961, when we became a republic, then there were fears that, you know, our trade relationship with the UK, which is and still is an important export destination for South African exports, that would come under pressure. But I think it didn't have such a big impact. And the rejoining of the Commonwealth, I also think it didn't make that much of a difference to our exports, because our exports nowadays are directed, if we talk about commodities, and especially mineral commodities, those go to the Chinese economy and to perhaps India, but also the European Union. So, yeah, one wonders why. And of course, we talk about the 19 African countries. Many of them say, oh, but you know, we still want some dispensation for the slaves that were taken from our countries 200, 400 years ago. And because of that, they are still members of the Commonwealth. I think it doesn't make much difference whether you are a member of the Commonwealth or if you negotiate with the UK independently, even if you're not a member of the Commonwealth, for some dispensation. And yeah.
Ulrich, wouldn't you agree, as a South African, and primarily we are obviously Africans from the African continent. If we look at African nations still within the Commonwealth, and you're making reference to the fact that within the Commonwealth group now, the Indian economy is probably the largest and most powerful. Why don't many of these Commonwealth countries not break away and form their own Commonwealth away from the old architects of the British Empire and colonialism? But those Commonwealth member countries, particularly in Africa, don't you think this call is justified? They're calling for restitution over the transatlantic slave trade. So the calls for reparations that these African countries are asking for and calling for, isn't that perhaps a sign of the Commonwealth's influence that is dramatically waning on the African continent?
Yes, I would say you're right in that sort of idea. But at the same time, you know, I think that these countries still think that because they are a member of the Commonwealth, and, you know, initially it was called the British Commonwealth, which was dropped quite early, that they have a better bargaining power with the British. But I don't think that's really a case these days. And as you mentioned, you know, or suggested, that they should form their own grouping and then start negotiating. But I'm not quite sure. You know, if you look at the British economy these days, I don't think they have the means to really compensate anyone. And, of course, at the same time, there is some reluctance on the side of those countries where you say, but, you know, they have to compensate the countries where the slaves came from. They say, but you know, what's going to happen to that money? Because some of the money that we've donated to these countries just landed in the pockets of the elite, and not it didn't make a big difference to the people on ground level. So, you know, there are many factors, many aspects to this sort of negotiation. And whether this is going to happen in any case, I'm not quite sure. I have my doubts about that.
Certainly, if one looks at the comments of British Prime Minister Keir Starmer, he said he would rather look forward than discuss reparation for the past. I mean, that clearly speaks of the fact that the United Kingdom is not interested in looking at meaningful reparations, because they started taking away Africans from the continent, I think, in the mid-15th century, already across the Atlantic. And I think a lot of the African countries are not asking for monetary or financial compensation. They're at least saying, can we start looking at changing the narrative and also the choice and use of language, and stop sanitizing what we did illegally a long time ago, and then perhaps purport it not to be the way it was?
Yeah, but, you know, if you start with that sort of discussion, then one could say, what about the countries in the Middle East who also became part of the slave trade in the olden days? What about the Roman Empire, where we know that, you know, they had, when they conquered a country, those people were taken as slaves? How far are you going back in history? And, we know that Mr. Blair, the Prime Minister, in, I think it was 2007 and, say, 2005, he said, yes, they regret, the British regret, that they were part of the slave trade. But more than that, we don't see coming to the fourth. And I'm not quite sure whether we will make any headways, even if you have an independent grouping and say that, you know, they're going to focus on, as you say, yes, just a sort of different narrative about the slave trade. Because this was such an old way of doing things, you know, then you go back to even before Christ, if we talk about the this sort of trade. So I'm not quite sure whether we're going to make any real headway about this. Yeah, we can say it's important to say, but, you know, these people must feel sorry for what they did to many African countries and to the people of those countries. But I'm not quite sure whether we're going to really make any headway with that sort of action.
It is. Yeah, it is a very sad set of affairs. From the 15th to the 19th century, over 12 and a half million Africans were forcefully taken from their homes, kidnapped and forced to work abroad in the United States and Europe. You literally created 28 million victims through your slave trade. I think it's just despicable. Adjust your language usage. It's a sad set of affairs. Ulrich, let's leave it there. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.